Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, September 2nd, 2016. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. And yes, remember you can always reach me at the African Roots Podcast at gmail.com. Well, everyone, oh my goodness. Oh, wow. What a full day. Oh my goodness. It is here, the International Black Genealogy Summit. And wow, it started off with a bang. How about starting an international summit on genealogy with a representative from Côte d'Ivoire, which is the Ivory Coast, and oh my gosh, a person representing the people from not just Ivory Coast itself, the city of Abidjan, and just so much energy. The conference kicked off today with a presentation by the ambassador to the United States from Côte d'Ivoire. And, oh my goodness, from there it went on to an amazing presentation by Harry Jones, who many of us used to know at the Museum of African American Civil War in Washington, D.C. He is now a professor teaching in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But Harry Jones is a man who knows Civil War history like you would not believe. And, oh my goodness, and then the workshops began. Now, I have described the atmosphere at IBGS as one, I just call it electric. It's like there's electricity in the air. People are energized. People are sharing things with each other. And there are people who are researching all kinds of things. There was talk today. People were talking about Canadian, just Canadian ancestors and ancestry and researching that ancestry. I met a woman today who came from Panama. And from Limon in Panama, just excited to meet her and to talk with her. And we had a conversation, both Spanish and English. It gave me a chance to exercise my Spanish skills. But, oh, my goodness, what a wonderful experience it was. To say that today has been fantastic is putting it mildly. It was exciting also to see people coming from literally from coast to coast. There were people here from the state of Washington, the state of California was well represented. Oh my gosh, there must be at least 25, if not 30 people here from Chicago alone. Oh my goodness, they're literally from all over the place. I was even thrilled to meet someone from Arkansas. That's right, Northwest Arkansas, coming from Bentonville, Arkansas. And it turns out she actually knows some people in my family. What a real pleasant surprise with that. Meeting people, though, from all over the place, people from the Maggie family, Black Pro Gen. Oh my gosh, it was just widely represented. People had a chance to break bread with each other, not only at an amazing luncheon, but also just even afterwards when, you know, you have the meeting after the meeting, when people get together and talk and start to exchange ideas and thoughts and interests. And it just absolutely a delight. And it has been a powerful experience. And people are sharing their just dimensions of what they do. James Morgan III was there with his just well-versed knowledge in Masonic history, fraternal organizations, benevolent societies. It just goes on and on. And really quite exciting to see people. I saw Sharon Amos, who was in the writing track this summer at Ox, and the luncheon, which was very, very nice. And literally people just from all over the place. And it has just been more than exciting. Yes, it has begun. And this is, for me, exciting because it's coming after a really amazing weekend. I'm in the middle of a wedding, a family wedding weekend. Thursday night I attended an event, a family event, a Nigerian engagement ceremony, a traditional one, absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, on Saturday is the church wedding and, of course, the reception that follows that as well. So, yes, quite excited. But in the middle was IBGS for me, and what an experience. It has really, really been truly, truly something. And I can only say that, wow, you know what? There's some beautiful people who are part of the worldwide family of individuals who are African ancestored people, and it has just been absolutely electrifying. Certainly these last 24, 48 hours, I was excited today to give to workshops, and the room was full. I was excited about that, to see people who had such a strong interest in learning about women who served in the Civil War. And I'm not saying, although there were some who actually did go in disguise and serve as soldiers, but I'm talking about women who served as nurses, matrons, laundresses, cooks, who have been well documented. Over 20,000 service records can be researched at the National Archives. And I was so happy to share that. And the feedback that I received was just absolutely delightful. But I'm just telling you, it has really been a treat to be here at the Black Genealogy Summit, the International Black Genealogy Summit once again. And wow, the energy is just as intense as it was the very first time. And I can only say is that, wow, I wish the summit would happen more frequently, but maybe that's part of, I guess, what makes it special too when it does take place. But this is just really, really exciting. Anyway, all kinds of things are in the news. What's the news this week? And the news is taking on many dimensions, which is what I really like. Yes, everyone, including people at the summit, were talking about the news coming out of Georgetown. Now, we've already heard the news about the fact that Georgetown University sold over 230 slaves to, well, hey, get them out of debt and split up families, shipped them to Louisiana, and individuals who are researching their families have found out that they came from Maryland, and these were people who had been enslaved by the Jesuits. And when it was time to expand the university, yes, it was decided, well, sell some people and let's expand the university. Well, the news is out there, and there are efforts that are already underway. People are involved with getting involved with the research of descendants of those who were once enslaved. But in addition to that, there's interest in taking this phenomenon and studying it on multiple levels. And it's coming also from the history department. I understand phones are ringing off the hook. People are saying, hey, what can I do? How can I learn more about my own history? Is my family tied to it? There are just so many things that are happening. I'm just glad that people are talking. People are talking to each other. And people are just saying, you know what? There's an awful lot that I can do with my own research on multiple levels from many different angles. And I can certainly share something with you and something that I got myself in email just, oh, I guess in the last few hours. And I received something that was really quite a surprise, that I wrote an article, gosh, what, 4 years ago, about a gentleman who had written a letter from Missouri, and this man had written a letter to the slaveholder who was still holding his family enslaved. The Civil War was underway. And I was quite surprised. Number one, the letter itself, which was quite interesting, and the man, Spotswood Rice, was the soldier, and he wrote to the former slaveholder and said, listen, you know, Katie Diggs, you've got my family. You've got to let them go. I'll bring the whole Union Army. This man had enlisted in the Union Army, and he wrote a very, very sharp-toned letter to her. Well, today I was very, very, very surprised to receive a letter from a gentleman from Missouri who started out saying, Betty Diggs Shepherd, who lived until 1925, is my great-grandmother. Her father was killed by a runaway slave. Well, apparently her father was a slaveholder, and there was a confrontation. And so this gentleman was writing and sharing information. And finally, he got to the point of his letter. Kitty Diggs, the lady whose name was mentioned in the letter, the slaveholder, was his ancestor. And it was something that he was just writing to share this. And I was very intrigued by the letter. He didn't have to write it at all, but he saw it and he talked about the fact that, yes, he did realize that this was part of his own family history. And he wasn't, you know, writing to be apologetic or anything, but he really did talk about the fact that there was not always animosity from his own family, and that there was a good relationship that his family did have in later years with people of color. Very interesting letter to have received it. But for me, it was just showing me the power of blogging and the power of making an impact with a well-written story. And I think my story was fairly well-written, enough to generate interest that actually came from the slaveholder's descendant. And I was very, very intrigued by that. So I thought that was just something to really share with you. And it's something that I hope to be able to encourage other people to write, to blog, to put your story out there. This week has also been exciting. Many of us have been involved with a colleague who shared a picture in social media of a person believed to be her ancestor. And that, you know, she was really interested in asking what our opinions were. And we were able to share our opinions on what we thought. And she shared some other things with us. And in fact, we talked about that today. I'm referring to the blog Into the Light, which is Renata Sanders' blog. And we talked about the picture. Several of us had commented on it. After the conference was over today, we were just sitting around a restaurant, just eating and talking. And one of our colleagues, James Morgan III, we always talk about him. And, you know, he was sharing some documents that he had of someone. And we, you know, looked at the letter and said, wait a minute, we were talking about the lapel pin that Renata's ancestor was wearing. We couldn't identify it. It turns out that this other photograph that James had was almost identical. And we've almost been able to identify the organization to which her ancestor was a member. And it was quite fascinating because it was an organization I knew very little about. Let me see if I can recall it, the International Society of the Order of Daughters of Samaria, which was kind of interesting. And another one of the many benevolent societies that are there. And apparently her ancestor was a member of this group. And on a second photograph that was just being shared with us among friends, here was that same pin. And wow, it looked as if there was something that maybe it may have answered at least one particular question in terms of a detail on that wonderful picture. But anyway, oh my gosh, you know, these kinds of types of events are wonderful because it's the fellowshipping as well as the exchange of information that takes place at conferences like this. And so I really hope that if you've not been to an event like this, that you will consider doing it, consider attending in the future, consider attending something even on a small scale, an institute such as Maggie or some of the other institutes that are around. There's GRIP, there's the Fed program, the Federal Records program. And so it's just really an awful lot that's out there. And yes, to be able to see the individuals who are just doing incredible research. It's basically all I can say. To see the kinds of research and energy that's being displayed out there is just truly wonderful. Just a lot of interaction that is going on. And the genealogy community is just really, really lucky. There's been so much just good energy and good ideas that have been shared. And just hope that many of you will have a chance to have this kind of experience as well. So, yeah, I'm coming down off of a conference high, if you can't tell. But it's just one of those things that just has me all revved up. And, yeah, something to think about. Now, I have a question for you. Do you have someone technical in your family, meaning someone who's good with computers, and actually probably the younger, the better. I ask because younger people are very good at creating all kinds of things from apps to other things. But I sat in and listened to an episode of Extreme Genes, by the way, last week. If you're not familiar with Extreme Genes Radio, just go to Google, type it in. Extreme Genes, spelled G-E-N-E-S, as in your genes, our chromosomes. This is that kind of genes that we're referring to. Anyway, there was an episode, I guess, last week, and I was excited to listen to an interview with Thomas McCanty. And in that interview, he talked about the fact that what's the game that all the children, well, not children, grown people are playing it too, the Pokemon game that people are playing, and they're walking around capturing sort of fictitious characters and scoring up their points. What made it interesting is that the game is using something called augmented reality. Now, if you watch football, if you watch not just professional football, but also college football, you know, when they're trying to make that first down and try and move that ball 10 yards, and you have four tries to make to move it to the next chance to get a first down again, and that orange line appears on the screen. It's not a real orange line painted on the grass, but it's augmented reality. In other words, showing you something that really isn't there, but to show you in sort of accurate terms how far the players have to go to move their ball towards the goal. Well, you also saw it at the Olympics when the runners or the swimmers were breaking a record. You would see the line appearing on the track or in the swimming lane. That's just where the world record is. Oh, look, Usain Bolt is about to beat the world record that he set the last time and all that sort of thing. Well, that's a concept of augmented reality. It's something that you're looking at in real time in a real place, but it in reality is not really there. There is no line in that swimming pool like that, or there is nothing on that track that's moving with the runners, nor is the first down line in football moving. Well, all that to simply say that a suggestion was made that perhaps people who are innovative can create an app whereby maybe make it a game if one chooses to, taking the concept of Pokemon Go, which everyone is playing, and that one turn it into maybe a history Mongo, so to speak. In other words, create an app where one can mark old cemeteries, old schools, old historic places, historic markers, capture them with their smartphone, rack up their points if you want to make it point-based. But really, you can mark historical sites using Google Maps. The reason why I say that, because Pokemon uses Google. You can see on Pokemon, oh, you're on this street. Hey, there's a character that you can capture over here in that mall or on the side of the road, because they're everywhere. And it's kind of interesting because it gets people out to move around, to walk, but it also makes people look at places they've never looked at. I didn't really understand how the game was played until I was in the car with my niece the other day, and she said, oh, there's a gazebo around here. I've got to capture something in a gazebo. And as we came up to it, oh, there it is right there. It actually made her look at something in the scenery she never would have ever seen in 1,000 visits up and down that road. And it's just really kind of interesting to see that someone is saying, hey, why don't we take that concept of this little game that people are playing, but let's apply it to history, let's apply it to historical sites, genealogical sites. All I'm saying is that, hey, if you have someone who's good at computers who can make an app, hey, I think it can be really something to develop. Once I understood the point, my mind began to race. I began to think, HBCUs, AME churches, all kinds of churches, actually, Baptist churches, cemeteries, Rosenwald schools, things that can be marked on a map, can possibly be identified in an app that one can actually sort of collect and accumulate, sort of as their own personal record, but just kind of a fun little thing. But fascinating things made me start to think a little bit differently about some things, even something as trivial as one might think Pokemon Go might be. But anyway, it was just really kind of fun to listen to that. But tune in, listen to that episode, and a shout out to Gene, who I'm saying Gene, to Scott, whom I met, I think, last year with Extreme Jeans. I met him at Roots Tech, and it was a lot of fun meeting him and meeting some of the people who are involved with that. But yeah, you know, there's there's a lot that's going on online in the genealogical community that's a little bit different, a little bit beyond what we typically do. So yeah, listen to it. It's a genealogy and family history radio show, extremegenes.com. And hey, it's kind of fascinating and kind of fun to listen to as well. By the way, you want to capture another podcast, a shout out to the genealogy guys. I understand they recently interviewed Bernice Bennett. And, you know, Bernice is always amazing with some of the different things that she presents and she's able to share. But she was a guest on a podcast. She was a guest of the Genealogy Guys podcast. So listen, you know, listen to her talk about some of the things that she's been involved in. She's mighty busy. She's going to be at the summit tomorrow. So please get over there. Get to the summit. We're talking about the Gateway Marriott in Crystal City, Virginia, just in, it's really across the river in Arlington, just next to a national airport. And wow, it's just amazing. But you know what? Hey, I got to wrap things up and go. I'm, as I said, I'm in the middle of a family wedding weekend. I'll be at a wedding tomorrow. So delighted that I was able to share in a lot of the fun. Take a look at what's going on in social media, in the groups on social media. People are posting pictures like crazy. It has been an experience, and I'm going to share some amazing pictures with you as well. All kinds of things that are happening in terms of just energy. Just the entire experience of the summit is a lot of fun. And yes, I'm still coming down from my convention high. I'm going to wrap things up, though, for this week. Oh, my gosh, a lot of things to get involved in and get busy with. I know that many of you have your own things going on. I know this is going to be a weekend, a holiday weekend for many of you. So, oh my gosh. Hey, I do hope that you're going to enjoy it. I know some people are down in, I guess, Orlando for the Tom Joyner reunion, but there's also going to be an event at the Reginald Lewis Museum next weekend, next Saturday, and it's going to be a reunion program event at the Reginald Lewis African American Museum as well, and I hope to see some of you there. Oh my gosh, lots of things to keep busy, and even though the summer's winding down, we're not winding down with our research. We're not winding down with what we're doing, and we're definitely communicating and interacting with each other all kinds of ways. People are putting ideas out there, sharing, asking questions, and getting answers, and just, you know, sort of step out of the box and get yourself revved up just a little bit. Well, to get some other things done as well in terms of your research. It was good to see a good friend, Emily from Pittsburgh, was there. I hadn't seen her in a long time, and she is at the summit. All kinds of people are showing up. It has just been exciting. Anyway, yeah, got to get back and get some things done. Pay attention. A lot of images are showing up. A lot of things are happening online and all of us are going to be charged to get back and do some more research. And of course, I hope that you will have a week of just a research-filled week. If you're not at a conference, a shout-out to our friends who are in the Midwest who are attending this week in the Federation of Genealogical Societies conference in Springfield, Missouri. So hope that many of you, if you couldn't make it out to Washington, that you were able to make it there. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, in the meantime, have a great week, everyone. I'm winding everything down now. And of course, I hope that you will continue to do what you do. And you know what I'm going to say? Keep researching, everyone. Keep documenting. And yes, keep sharing what you find. Take care, everyone. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.